Morning. Let's see. Is this thing doing what it's... All right. Good to see you this morning. We've been asked to think about this topic, what keeps people from coming home. And the truth is, we could scour the entire Bible to come up with enough reasons that it would fill my whole arm. But I had to make a decision this morning. I don't want to do that because you wouldn't be able to digest all of that. We wouldn't be able to deal with any of it with any great degree of depth. So what I want to do this morning is take a look at an episode that I know is well known to most. I want us to think about the prodigal son. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus speaks three times about lost things. He speaks about a lost sheep. And apparently this sheep has wandered away and in so doing placed itself in some great danger. And then the shepherd, realizing that the sheep has been lost, goes, leaves the 99 sheep and finds the one and then rejoices because the one has been found. The second time he speaks about a lost coin. And so here we have a woman who has she has a dozen coins, 10 or 12 coins, but one of them she cannot find. Apparently, it has been misplaced. She stops what she's doing. She begins to sweep the house, and she finds the one that had been lost. And she rejoices, and she invites others to rejoice with us, with her. The third thing Jesus says is there was a lost son. And I want us to think about this lost son for just a moment. He's different. You see, what's happening with him is not the same as what has happened with the sheep or what has happened with the coin. The sheep had wandered away. This was inadvertent. The coin had been misplaced. No one intended for it to be lost. The lost son, though, the lost son is missing under completely different circumstances. You remember, and I appreciate the reading, you remember what happened with this young man. He's in his father's house, and he begins to be dissatisfied with what is happening there. The Bible doesn't explain all of the reasons for his dissatisfaction, but he is dissatisfied. And so he goes to his father, and he says, I wish you would give me my inheritance early. Please give me what's going to fall to me when you die right now that I might enjoy it now. Disrespectful. I mean, legally, he was entitled to these things, but he was not entitled to receive these things until the father died. It was as if he said to his father, I can't wait until you die to enjoy your stuff. Completely disrespectful. The father does something he doesn't have to do. He gives the young man the goods that he asked for. Listen, this is an adult by this point. This man makes his own decisions. The father gives him what he asked for, even though the father knows it was not in his best interest. He made his own decision. The father gave him the stuff. And the Bible says, listen, after a short period of time, in short order, he takes those goods and departs the father's house, goes away into a far country. You see, even when he was in the father's house, he had his mind made up what he wanted. He saw some things that interested him. He saw some things that he wanted to partake in, some things that he wanted to enjoy. But there were rules in the father's house. He couldn't do all of that in the father's house. And so he takes what the father has and leaves and goes to a far country. He wants to be in a place where there is no interference from home. He doesn't have to worry about people sort of looking over his shoulder. He doesn't have to worry about being scrutinized. He leaves the father's house. Why? He was pursuing pleasure. You know, what we're asked to think about here is what keeps people from coming home. I would suggest to you that sort of what keeps people from coming home sometimes is the same thing that takes them away from home in the first place. This man was interested in pleasure, sensual gratification. He was interested in pleasing his belly. He wanted what felt good, even if it wasn't good. Maybe while he's in the father's house, he can look and see that other people are doing things he had never experienced. Maybe other people were drinking things he had never had. Maybe they were playing the kinds of games he had never played, and they seemed to be having a good time. And so he leaves. In verse 13, it says, "Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country," listen to it, "and there he wasted his substance with riotous living." Boy, those folks, they seem to be having a good time. I mean, listen, they don't have the kinds of inhibitions that I have. I mean, those folks really seem to be enjoying themselves. They're experiencing great pleasure, and he wanted that for himself. That's why he left the father's house in the first place. Here's the deal. In the far country, he has lost his faith. In the far country, he has lost his funds. You know, the money ran out. In the far country, he lost his friends. They went with the money. And then all of a sudden, it wasn't so much fun. What I want you to see about this young man is he did not return to the father's house until the fun ran out. What kept him? The same thing that took him away. And he did eventually return, we know that, and we'll come back to that, but not before the fun ran out. Listen, we have to be honest about something. Sin can be pleasurable, at least for a period of time. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 24, beginning, that Moses preferred to suffer with his people rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. But do you see how the Bible describes it? The pleasure of sin. Listen, people wouldn't do half the stuff they do if they didn't enjoy it. The problem, though, this kind of pleasure, it doesn't last forever. See, they don't tell you that on the commercials, you know, where they're slinging beer and all kinds. They don't tell you that this kind of fun runs out. They don't show you the pictures where you wind up in somebody's gutter. They don't show you that, but that's what happens, and that's what happened to this man. Yeah, the fun. The fun eventually ran out. He was living a life with no rules. He could sort of go wherever he wanted. He could come and go as he chose. He could hang out with whoever he wanted to hang out with and do whatever he wanted to do. And the end of that was he had to spend some time in the pig pen. As you think about people who wander away from the Father's house, as you think about your own life, maybe there have been times where you wandered away, or maybe, you know what, you've been on a frolic even now and you're sitting here, but you know in your own mind you've been on a frolic in your own life. Pleasure will take you away, and pleasure will keep you away from the Father's house. Now, what are we to make of that? Listen, it is better to come on home before you hit rock bottom like this man. It is better to recognize that sensual pleasures, it is better to recognize that filling your stomach and pleasing your body, listen, all of that is temporary, and all of that will lead you to places you don't want to go. It is better to stop and think to yourself, you know, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2 that I ought to flee from youthful lust, and I ought to pursue love, and I ought to pursue faith, and I ought to pursue things that are good and peaceful. Listen to it. With them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart, verse 22. You ought to abide with people who love God and trust God and are trying to do what is right. Sometimes people don't come to themselves and appreciate that until the fun runs out. A second thing I see here is pride. You know, this man is This man is living in his father's house. His father is obviously a fairly successful man, a well-respected man, a man who has taken good care of him for his whole life. But he begins to think in his own mind that he knows better than his father knows. He begins to think that if he made these decisions for himself, he would do better than his father has done. He's proud. Pride has to do with an excessive evaluation of oneself, thinking more highly of ourselves than we should. And that at bottom is what's going on with this man. Look at verse number 14. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that country, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Listen, this is really interesting to me. He's left his father's house, and now he's in a foreign land. The money runs out, the friends run out, and so he has to decide what to do. Bible says he begins to be in want. A person with good common sense, what would they do? You know what? I know how things were in my father's house. I might have preferred it to be a little different than it was at times, but I know that things were pretty good, and look at the circumstance I'm in right now. What should I do instead of going back to his father, instead of returning to the old man? He goes to a stranger, and the word here is he glues himself. He submits himself to a heathen. He's just looking for someone who will show him some tenderness, some care. Now listen, he had nothing but tenderness and care in the father's house, but he doesn't go back there. Why not? Listen, he's burned down bridges on his way out of the father's house. He's acted a complete fool on his way out of the father's house. I mean, what's supposed to happen if you go back to the father's house? What's that supposed to look like? Because the father hasn't done anything wrong. So when you show up on his doorstep, what are you going to say? He's not ready to say what needs to be said. Why do you say that? I say that because when he was ready to say it, he got up and went back and he goes to his father and he says, I have sinned against you and against heaven. He could have said that a week ago. He could have said that a month ago. He could have said that a year ago. Why are you in the pig pen defiling yourself in this way? Because you have too much pride to apologize? Listen, pride is a dastardly thing. The Bible says pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit goes before the fall. Proverbs 16 and verse number 18. Perhaps he was a bit too concerned about being perceived as a failure. You know, I went out of there and told everybody that they would never see me again. I went out of there and told everybody, I don't know how y'all deal with it. I don't know how y'all put up with it. I'll be better off over here by myself. And then to have to go back with his tail between his legs and apologize to the old man. He didn't have it in him. See, pride caused him to leave. And pride kept him out there a little longer than it should have, at least. He preferred to glue himself to a heathen rather than go back to the one who loved him more than anyone else. You know, sometimes people have to lose their fortune before they're willing to come to themselves and go back home. Sometimes people have to lose their families before they come to themselves and go back home. Sometimes people have to hit absolute rock bottom. They have to find themselves completely out of options. I'm suggesting to you, you know, the better course is to humble ourselves You know, the better course is not to spend one day in the pig pen longer than we should. The better course is to come on home and ask the Father for forgiveness. In this regard, you know, we're no different than this man. Sometimes acknowledging that we were wrong, acknowledging that we've messed up, acknowledging that we've made a mess of our lives, it's not easy to do. But the better course is to do it now, today, rather than a week from now or a year from now. I see something else that was hindering this man. Ingratitude. Ingratitude has to do with a lack of appreciation. It is a forgetfulness or a poor return on a kindness that is received. You know, someone treats you with love and kindness. Someone sacrifices for you. Someone puts you first, and then you sort of forget about all of that. You look back at that and you just don't think very much of that. This man was an ingrate. In verse number 17, it says, when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish here with hunger. Now that he's coming to himself, he says, you know what? It wasn't so bad in my father's house after all. I mean, had anything changed about his experience in the Father's house while he was in the far country? Had there been any new revelations? Was there some new information? No, listen, it had always been good in the Father's house. The servants had always had bread enough and to spare. He just didn't appreciate it. You know, sometimes we have so much stuff and things are so good that we just don't appreciate the stuff that we have and just how good it is until we lose it. This man had been ungrateful. That's why he could go to his father and ask his father for more than he deserved. That's why he could take a third of his father's living and go into the far country and squander the father's blessings on riotous living. He didn't appreciate what he had. Now, I know that that's true. Because when he began to appreciate it, what did he do? He changed his behavior. He got up and went back. The circumstances hadn't changed. The father's house was no different. The father was the same man he had always been. But when he remembered who the father was and what the father had done, then he changed his behavior. I'm saying, listen, we should come on home. We should be thankful for the blessings that inure to us being in the Father's house. We should be thankful to have a father like the one we have. Listen, and we should be thankful to be a part of his family. Listen, God doesn't have only children. We should be thankful for what we have. And everything's not going to be exactly how we want it all the time. But we don't want to be ingrates now, do we? Because when you get outside of the Father's house, get on out there in the world and let the devil do what he wants and see what's left. Then all of a sudden, it wasn't so bad. No, it never was so bad. It's just a matter of your appreciation for what God does for us. Another thing you see here. Shame. Shame kept him from coming home. You know, and the man had something to be ashamed of. I mean, this man had really acted up. This man had really acted out. But look at verses 18 and 19. He says, I will arise, I will go to my father, I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. Listen to what he says. I am no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. You know, shame will hinder a person from being willing to show his or her face. Yeah, I know you guys have been Christians a long time. You've never done anything that you shouldn't have done. But if you were the kind of person who's made some mistakes, see, if you were the kind of person who has sullied your reputation maybe before one person or before some group of people. If you weren't perfect and you messed things up sometimes, you may have an inkling of how it might feel to not be excited about showing up before those people or in those places. You know, people who don't sort of grow up in the church, they live a life without knowing who God is, without caring what kind of restrictions and guidance God provides. Those people live their lives, and then when they become Christians and have to turn around and go back, they may not be in a hurry to show their faces because those people know what they have done, not what they're doing now, what they have done. This man was ashamed. As good a father as you've been to me, the way I disrespected you, the way I mistreated you, he's in no hurry to show up again. Listen, there is an episode in 2 Samuel. The king of Ammon dies and his son becomes the king after him. And David, apparently, David had some friendly relations with the king who had died. And when his son takes the throne after him, David says, you know what, I'm going to send some of my servants to comfort the king, the new king in Ammon. And he sends his servants and the man, his advisors say to him, you think David is trying to be your friend? He's not trying to be your friend. He's trying to spy out what we have here. So the man takes the servants that David had sent and shaves off half of their beards and cuts a hole in their garments, the Bible says, so that their buttocks was exposed, and sends them away in that condition. When David finds out what's going on, he sends some folks to them and says, listen, you don't have to come home right now. You stay where you are until your beards grow back, then you can come home. Why? See, they were too ashamed. They were too ashamed even to expose themselves to their family members in that condition. What I'm saying to you is sometimes people leave the Father's house and sort of make a mess on their way out, and they show their behinds, so to speak, and they're ashamed to go back. This sense of shame kept this man out there in the world longer than it should have. A painful emotion caused by a consciousness of guilt, shortcoming, or impropriety. It is a condition of humiliating disgrace and disrepute. His name, he figured, was mud in the Father's house, and he couldn't take it. So he stayed out in the world. You know, sometimes when we mess up, and we all mess up at some points in time, we all mess up. Some of us mess up a bit more profoundly than others. But when we mess up, we're usually not going to be excited to go back to the people that we messed up with or that we messed up before. I say to you, listen, you come on home. If you disrespected the Father, if you disregarded what he had done for you, you ought to be ashamed. But you don't allow that shame to keep you from coming back home. Because the Father, see, He's ready and he's willing to forgive. He's not waiting for you to deserve it. You'll never deserve it. But he's willing to forgive anyway. In 1 John 1, you know, in verse number 9, the apostle says that if we will confess our sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, and that the blood of Jesus will continually cleanse us, wash our sins away. You know, when you go out and you talk to people who've messed up and they know they've messed up, listen, they will have a sense of shame about what they've done. But you have to remind them, listen, the forgiveness they need, first and foremost, is from the Father. And the Father is ready and willing to forgive. I want to mention one other thing. And listen, when I make these points, because I think that these are things that are in this passage here. But I know that there are all kinds of reasons. There's a plethora of reasons, things that would keep a person from coming home. I know that. And I don't mean to give short shrift to any of them. I'm just focused on this passage right now. And one of the things I see in this passage is that this man may have been afraid to go home. Why do you say that? Well, even if he does know the kind of man his father is, his father's not the only person in the home. You remember, he's got this older brother. And the Bible doesn't tell us what kind of exchanges they may have had as the young man was leaving. But, you know, the older brother sees the younger brother growing up over the years, and maybe he sees his heart wandering a little bit, and he sees him wanting to make certain kinds of friends and so forth. And the older brother says, hey, listen, you leave that alone. You stay away from that. You're going to hurt the old man. Listen, if you leave, that's going to make a greater burden on me. Wait, how could you do that to him? How could you do that to me? I don't know all of this, but listen, these two men are living together, growing up in the father's house, and when the younger brother leaves, it has an impact not only on the father but on the older brother too. See, he's affected by what is taking place. Maybe the younger brother just didn't care what he was going to do to the older brother. Maybe the younger brother knew the older brother, because, you know, the older brother seems to be a little bit of a stern man. The father has a heart of forgiveness. The older brother is a little less forgiving. And so you remember what happens when the younger brother comes home. Everybody's going to make merry. Everybody's going to celebrate. And the father calls them to do that. The younger brother won't go. The older brother won't go inside. Why not? He's not happy. He's not happy to see the younger brother. Scoundrel. Disgraced the old man, brought shame and ill repute on the family, made life more difficult for me. When he left, who had to do his job? That was me. I had to do his job. The father comes out to him and says, listen. It's appropriate for us to celebrate. It's appropriate for us to celebrate. Your brother was dead. He was gone. He was cut off from the family, and we have received him alive again. We ought to be happy about that. And the older brother says, you know what? I have served you faithfully my entire life. I've done everything you asked me to do. And now you want to hoop and holler and have a good time because this guy, your son, has come home? I mean, we never made this kind of celebration for me. You never gave me a kid so I could celebrate with my friends. He's not happy to see the younger brother. You think the younger brother may have known that everybody wasn't going to be excited to see him after the way he left? You know, when you're gone that first Sunday, you can kind of come back and, you know, nobody's going to pay too much attention. You're gone that second Sunday and people say, you know, is everything all right? I was thinking about you and so forth. You're gone that first month and 2 months and 6 months. At a certain point, you're not sure exactly how it's going to go when you come back. At a certain point, you know some brethren can be harsh. And you know some brethren can be unforgiving. You know some brethren don't have compassion the way they should. Everybody doesn't want to deal with that. So they don't. You have to be careful. You really do have to be careful how you deal with other people. You can be right and wrong at the same time. Yes, everything you said is right there in the book. The way you said it is not in keeping with your following Jesus' example. You can be right and wrong at the same time. Fear. The Bible doesn't say that it definitely hindered him. I'm just suggesting to you that it does seem reasonable that it may have hindered him. He knew everybody wouldn't be excited to see him. You remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, you remember there's the man who had his father's wife and so forth. And it's 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 5 beginning where Paul tells these people, listen, you receive him back. Yes, you had to sort of address his sin issue. The man was not repentant. He was bringing the church into ill repute and so forth. You dealt with that, fine. But now if he's ready to come back, you receive him. So he's not overcome with sorrow. It's hard enough to come back. You don't make it any harder for him to come back. You see, sometimes a person's been away long enough, they get concerned about the kind of reception that they're going to have. You know what we ought to be doing? We ought to be trying to help people to understand, listen, it's time for you to come back. You're going to be welcomed when you come back. And I didn't say everybody's going to handle this the right way. No, ma'am, I didn't say that. No, sir, that's not what I'm saying. I'm telling you that the Father wants you back. And most people will be willing to rejoice when you come back. And if you find one with a bit of a harsh spirit like the older brother, you let the Father deal with him. Did you see how this worked? The younger brother didn't have to go to the older brother and listen, let me tell you all these different ways that I'm sorry. We might get around to that. The father goes and deals with the older brother, addresses his heart issue. He's got his own problem. If he's not willing to receive you, if he's not going to be happy for you to be here, you come on back because it's the father's house, not the older brother's house, and that the father deal with the older brother. See, in God's house, everybody's welcome. Everybody's welcome. Now, listen, there are rules in the Father's house. There's standards in the Father's house. You can't live a riot in the Father's house. But it's good living in the Father's house. And when you realize that, if you've never been in the Father's house, when you realize that, you're welcome. If you're in the Father's house right now, listen, better stay in it because it's good living in the Father's house. Realize it now. But if you wandered away and then you realize it, you're still welcome in the Father's house. Same rules, though, see? Same standards. Same Father. But he wants you to come back. When we talk about the house, see, we're talking about the church. The house, the church is the house of God. It's his house. You should never leave it. People do sometimes. But if you ever left it, you ought to come back. So much better than the pig pen of the world. We're hoping that this month, you know, we'll all be cognizant. We'll all sort of make it an emphasis to go out and to reach out to people who may have left the Father's house. Listen, restoration is a part of the mission that God gave us, seeking and saving the lost. If you leave the house, you're lost. And sometimes people wander away and sometimes people are just misplaced. It's not intentional, but a lot of times people just get up and with a high hand walk out the front door. We have to go and find those folks and remind them that they are welcome in God's house. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died to build God's house here on earth. He is the one who built this church so that people could come out of the world, come out of our country into his Father's house. He's the big brother, and he's not hard-hearted like the one we read about in Luke 15. The Father wants you. Your big brother Jesus wants you. And they tell us to rejoice, and so that's what we're going to do when a sinner comes home, repents of his sin, and returns. Jesus died for your sins and mine. He says, if you believe in me and you repent of your sins, turn away, come to yourself, get up and walk away from all of that righteous living. You come and confess with your mouth that I am the Son of God and you submit to baptism. He will wash all sins away. This is the putting the best robe on in Luke 15. See, this is putting a ring on his finger. He's going to make you new. He's going to clean you up. He's going to make you fit to live as a son in the kingdom. And again, if you've already obeyed the gospel, but then you strayed away, the Spirit and the bride say, come. We just say, come, come home. Let us rejoice with you. If we can help you, please let us know how we can as we stand and sing this song of invitation.